Dr. Wingard had to leave the service in order to go perform a funeral. So I wanted everyone to know that's why he's not here. He helped arrange for this wonderful blessing that we've had of hearing the Raines Elementary Choir. He's going to do the funeral of a lady, Miss Charlotte Ray in Yazoo City, who by once upon a time had tomato sandwiches in her home about 25 years ago. She's a dear, godly woman at home now with the Lord, and he'll be doing that funeral. So that's, I want you to know that's where Dr. Wingard is. And then I have to follow these folks. I mean, that's probably why he left, so he didn't have to face me afterwards. I have to follow the Raines Elementary Choir. It really was incredibly encouraging. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Psalm 149. I told you the last time I preached from a psalm, I've been working back through psalms that I didn't think I did a very good job of preaching the first time and trying to do a better job of them. And the last time that I was with you, I did Psalm 150. And so when Dr. Wingard asked me if I'd preach today, I just said, well, I'll go back and look at Psalm 149, see if I can do a better job of that psalm. And very briefly, I want to point out to you three reasons to praise God that we find in this psalm. You remember from Psalm 145 all the way to the end of the Psalms, all of the Psalms are Psalms of praise. Now, there are all kinds of songs in the Psalms. Some of those songs are teaching songs where they teach you truths. Some of those songs are sad songs where we complain about our situations or our circumstances and we take our problems to the Lord, or we lament and confess our sins to God. So a lot of the songs that we find in the Psalms are sad, but many of the Psalms that we find in the Psalms are praises. And all of the Psalms from 145 to 150 are praises. And they give us different reasons to praise God. And I want to look today specifically at three reasons that we are given to praise God in Psalm 149. And let me just tell you where I want you to be looking for them. First of all, if you look in verses 1 to 3, you're going to see in that passage a call to sing a new song. And that passage is going to give us our first reason to praise God. Then if you look at verse 4, you're going to see mention of God's delight in us and his giving salvation or deliverance to the humble. And we're going to find a second reason to praise God in that section of the psalm. And then if you look at verses 5 to 9, you're going to find a third reason. And that third reason resides in the fact that God judges his and our enemies. So three reasons are going to be given in this song to praise God. Be on the lookout for it as we read God's word. Let's pray before we read God's word, and then let's read it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So speak to us by your word, by the Holy Spirit. Open our eyes to behold wonderful things in your word, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 149, this is the word of God. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their throats and two-edged swords in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of irons, to execute on them the judgment written. This is honor for all his godly ones. Praise the Lord. Amen. And thus ends this reading of God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. May he write its eternal truth upon all our hearts. This psalm gives us at least three reasons to praise God, and it seems to flow out of Psalm 148, verse 14. You know that Old Testament scholars in general and Psalms scholars in particular are paying more and more attention to the order of the Psalms and the connection between the Psalms and why some Psalms are put one place and why some psalms are put in others. And there seems to be a connection between Psalm 148:14 and this psalm. Remember what Psalm 148:14 says? He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near him. And that seems to be what this psalm is keying off. And it looks like a victory psalm. Now, it looks like that because of the stuff you read in verses 1, 2, and 3, and because of the reference to swords and vengeance on the nations at the end of the psalm in verses 5 to 6. In fact, many have suggested that this psalm may have been written on the occasion of the return from Babylon. It begins and ends with a formal expression of praise. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. And it has three parts: a comprehensive command to worship God in verses 1, 2, and 3, sing to the Lord a new song; a double reason for worshiping God in verse 4, God's delight and God's deliverance; and a surprising way of worshiping God in verses 5 to 9, judgment on his enemies. So very briefly today, let me just look with you at those three things. Here's the first thing that I want you to see, and it's based on verses 1, 2, and 3. We are to worship the Lord for his greatest deliverance of us with all that we have and all that we are. How do I get that out of verses 1, 2, and 3? Well, just look. Sing to the Lord a new song. Keep that in the back of your mind. New song. His praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in the king. And then listen to the language of verse 3. Let us praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. Now, that is not a typical statement in the psalm. There are not many mentions of dancing in the psalms. And so that ought to immediately kind of pique your interest. Why is that being mentioned? Because normally that's not something that's mentioned in the psalm. It's not a part of temple worship. So why is he mentioning dancing? Well, go back with me to Exodus chapter 15. And in Exodus 15, after God gives the children of Israel victory at the Red Sea, we read Exodus 15:20. Then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out with her with tambourines and dancing, and Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea." Ah, tambourines and dancing on the occasion of the victory over Pharaoh and the Egyptian army at the Battle of the Red Sea. It was a great deliverance from God. It was the greatest deliverance of God in the Old Testament. And what do you find? Tambourines and dancing. Now turn forward to Judges chapter 11, verse 32. So Jephthah crossed over to the Ammonites to fight against them, and the Lord gave them into his hand. So the Ammonites were subdued before the people of Israel. Then Jephthah came to his home at Mizpah, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with tambourines and dancing. So another great military victory, and how do the ladies show up? With tambourines and dancing. This is a way of praising God for a great victory that he has given. And turn forward to 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5. David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him. And so Saul sent him over set him over the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And as they were coming home, when David returned from striking down the Philistine, the women came out of the cities of Israel, what? singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with songs of joy, and with musical instruments. And the women sang to one another as they celebrated, Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. Now, there's a lot rest to each of those stories. But what I want you to see is great victories. What happens? Tambourines and dances. The point is, the people of God, in response to the victory that he has given them, are exuberant and wholehearted, throwing all of themselves into praise to God. You can't play tambourines and dance and not throw the whole of yourself in worship to God. As Archie Bell and the Drells said many years ago, "Hi, I'm Archie Bell, and these are the Drells from Houston, Texas, and we not only sing, we dance just as good as we want." So you gotta throw yourself into that, right? So the whole point is, when God gives you a deliverance like that, you ought to respond with the whole of yourself in giving him praise. Now, here's the deal. When you get to Revelation 5 and Revelation 14, and John sees the worship in heaven, what does he see them doing? Singing to the Lord, look at verse 1, a new song. Just like here in Psalm 149, also just like in Psalm 96, just like in Psalm 98. That new song is a new song of praise because of the deliverance that Jesus has won for us. The deliverance that Jesus has won is greater than the Exodus. It's greater than David beating Goliath. It's greater than Jephthah beating the Ammonites. He has conquered the world and death and sin. And so what are they doing? They're singing to him a new song. You see, who our God is, our Maker and King, and what he has done for us in Jesus Christ, delivering us from the world and the flesh and the devil, it deserves praise. That's the first thing that I want you to see. Why do we praise God? Because of who he is. He's our Maker and our King because of what he's done. He's delivered us from sin through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that demands that we give all of ourselves to him in praise. Second, notice verse 4. We are to worship the Lord because he delights in us and has delivered us at the cost of his Son. Listen to what he says. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Now, just take in two ideas. The Lord delights in you. I want to take that in for a second. He wants to be with you. He likes you. You got to be kidding. Yes, he takes pleasure in you. You celebrate that, by the way, when you come to the Lord's table. You see, this is the Father saying, here's what my Son has done for you. He's given his body and his blood so that you can do what? Slide your knees up under my table and sit down and have supper with me because I delight in you. You got to be kidding. But Lord, you don't know my heart. Oh, yes, I do. But Lord, you don't know what I've done. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, Lord, but if my friends knew what I was really like, I wouldn't have any. I know, and I still like you. I take pleasure in you. I delight in you. And through the shed blood of my Son, come fellowship with me. He delights in us, and he gives salvation to the humble. He does not give salvation to us because we deserve it. We're humble folk. Winston Churchill was famous for making just lacerating cuts of his enemies. And on one occasion, he had just eviscerated a guy in public. And someone basically challenged him and said, you cannot talk about your political opponent that way. You've got to say something nice about it. And so he said, my opponent is a humble man, No man was ever more appropriately humble than my opponent. He was humble for a reason. That wasn't much of a compliment, by the way, to his humble. But you know what? We are very appropriately humble. We have good reason to be humble. And guess what? The Lord has lifted us up. We all have good reason to be humble, but the Lord has lifted us up. And you know what? If He delights in us and He's lifted us up, man, we ought to praise Him for it. So that's a second reason why we ought to praise. Now, third and finally, very quickly, look at the end of the psalm. This is the hard part of the psalm in many ways. Let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. That's interesting. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their throats and two-edged swords in their hands. Whoa, this is a very military-sounding thing, isn't it? And then he goes on, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the people, to bind kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. What's going on here? The point is this. The psalmist is rejoicing in the fact that the Lord delivers us from earthly enemies and oppressors. He delivers us from earthly enemies and oppressors. Now, just take this in. We have brothers and sisters in Christ right now all around the world whose governments are their enemies. But you know what? There are Christians right here in the United States who have experienced their neighbors, their government, and their culture being out to get them. And all of us can relate to the fears that happen in life. You know, we've just experienced break-ins on the campus and a stolen car. I mean, just a few years ago, my wife left an empty purse in the floorboard of her car in our driveway, and somebody broke in at night and broke out the window and stole the purse. And I remember how fearful and violated she felt. You know, somebody's broken into my car right next to the window. The dogs were right in the room. Apparently, they didn't make any noise at all. And it just felt bad. And maybe you've been in a situation where you felt fearful because of the stuff that could happen around you. And what's the psalmist saying? He's saying, God takes care of you so you can sleep at night. He's watching over you so you can sleep at night. And He will execute judgment against the people who oppress you in this world. And you know what that is? That's a matter for praise. The Lord is watching over His people. His eyes move to and fro throughout the land, watching those who fear Him. And He's going to take care of them. And let me say, in another way, He's going to take care of those who oppress them. So you don't want to be on that side of the ledger when the judgment comes. You want to be on the side of the one that He's watching over, not the ones He's having to watch against, right? Because they're going to be judged. But His children, He's going to watch over. And all three of those things are reasons to give God praise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time in Your Word. We pray that You would bless Your truth to our hearts and that You would put a song in our mouths of praise to God. In Jesus' name, amen.